Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles.
Time for a trade news update. Thanks to Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit iCanWin.com.au. As we mentioned a little earlier, Darren Burgess off to the Adelaide Crows officially as their new head of high performance. Also a report coming through from The Age that Patrick Lipinski has asked for a trade to Collingwood. We were waiting for this to happen. He's knocked back a three-year deal, as Cal Toomey's reported on AFL.com.au. To stay at the Dogs, looks like he's off to the Pies. Guys, what do you make of the Lipinski move and his upside at AFL level? Was in and out of the Dogs team first half of the year, but was overlooked in the squad as they pushed towards the grand final.
I think it's a good move for him. Obviously, can't get a regular game at the Dogs. They've got a number of his type at that football club. So, yeah, he'll get an opportunity at the Pies, particularly with their... They've got a bit of an ageing midfield in there as well. So, I think it's a good move by him.
This is another thing. It really helps to play really good against some teams. So he had 30-odd, I think, against Collingwood early in the season when Bulldogs won. So clubs remember that.
They do. I think literally last year, from memory, played a game, a blinder against Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval for Sydney. Second half, he went into the ruck, played behind the footy, and I think that was the one game that turned Port Adelaide's mind into thinking we might have a look at this guy.
It's amazing how often that happens.
Now he's an All-Australian. That's your news update. Thanks to Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit iCanWin.com.au. Time to get to your calls on the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48. Tom is going to kick us off in Toowoomba to chat about the Suns. Good afternoon to you, Tom.
Yeah, g'day, Mitch. G'day, gentlemen. I wanted to sort of respond to the earlier caller, but also to your great show about the Suns. The AFL owns the Suns, and I don't think they got it right from the beginning, and that's why these priority picks and concessions have been really so important. So, for example, GWS got the mini drafts, the two mini drafts, and people forget the Suns got those top picks, but they paid very dearly for them. And GWS got given that extra stuff. So if you look at the difference between the two startups, GWS is the way to do it, and the Suns is the way not to do it, because they're completely different, even though they were very similar time frames. So I see this, and I think the AFL, they'll never admit it, but they kind of have admitted it, haven't they, by giving the concessions, because they didn't get it right first time, and now this is giving the Suns a bit of a catch-up. One more comment, and I'd like to hear some views on this. I really think the Suns have drafted really well, but they've traded really well. So Brandon Ellis, I mean, can't say how much he's done for the team. Lockie Weller a few years ago brought him back to the Gold Coast. Oleg Markov last year, I mean, with Oleg Markov in the team, the Suns were a different prospect. When he wasn't in the team, giving that run off of half back, and I think he was the second highest bouncers in the comp and the highest average bouncers per game. Interestingly, Adam Saad was the highest, and he's an ex-Suns player. So what do you think about those guys, the trades from the last few years?
Yeah, you're spot on about the club. They didn't get it right to the start. The AFL made a bad blue there. They thought they know what they're doing. They had no idea what they were doing. They paid scant respect to player welfare. I don't even think they had a person in that role. Strength and conditioning person, who I knew very well, and he's a great fella, Andy Weller. He was actually a physio, not a strength and conditioning. So they started with that. They had a really poor start-up at that, and they paid a massive price for it. So I had this argument with Soss in the break about him, about that pick that he got, that they got 19 and they had 11 the year before, and they keep getting looked after. And I said, well, a lot of the Sun stuff's not self-inflicted, bar the people they put in place at the start, which has cost them a build. They look like they've finally got it right, but the clubs in Melbourne in particular are just raiding their players non-stop. So it's up to that club, and I think they've got it right now, is to build a culture where they want to stay. So, you know, you took Millers is the highest quality person, you know, Weller. Swallow's been there for a while, but Weller, yeah, got him in. High-quality person. Greenwood, high-quality. Witts, high-quality. So they're getting some people, players in there who are genuinely excellent, not just players, but people, and that's how you do it. So The other one was Ellis. I was trying to think of another one. And there's others there. And you bring them in with these kids. Probably the only one where I reckon, well, I'm asking the question is Rory Atkins. Did they really need Rory Atkins? But with all the other players they brought in, they've all contributed massively. And I reckon they've all contributed to their culture and their spirit, morale and their environment. And that's what they need to get really strong. And it seems like it's heading in that right direction.
Thanks for your call, Tom. We'll head to Craigieburn next. Scott is with us. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good.
All right, Soss. Could someone look after Soss because he might fall off his chair once I say this? as a list manager, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I've got to say it. We've got Jordan Dawson that's picked Adelaide to go to Adelaide. Well, that's fair enough, but they've got to come up with a fair pick for him. Now, they've offered him close to $700,000 a year over 5 years. You add the 10% on from what's been going on with the COVID that it's been cut from the list. That's 770. That's a top five draft pick, right? I know that he's uncontracted, but for me, he's more a complete player than Chera. I mean, Chera is a dime a dozen player. You can get a midfielder like him anywhere. A player like Dawson with his left foot and can kick 60 and hit targets, they're very, very hard to find. Now, for me, pick 23 is no way going anywhere near it. I mean, you look at Jordan Geelong for Clark, one around the same pick. Now, you compare them two players, they're chalk and cheese. I mean, come on, one's not even anywhere near Dawson's ability, right? So for me, at absolute minimum, we have to swap both of our first-round draft picks. They can have our first, we'll take their first, and they can have Dawson and a swap of second picks later in the track or a future second. Or at absolute worst, future first round. And if not, the Swans have been fleeced over the years with Tom Mitchell. We got fleeced by Leroy Jetta. Earlier is probably our own fault, the way we got fleeced with that. But if they do this again and let Jordan Dawson go for a second-round draft pick, they might as well close the club up, because in the end, they're just saying we're a kindergarten, where we'll get them up to standard, and then they can go where they want. Now, he said to the club, look, we'll let this happen at the end of the year, but I want to stay at the club. And then now he's turned around and said he wants to go to Adelaide, which is fair enough. That's his prerogative. He can go to Adelaide. I've got no problems with it. But the Swans have to put their foot down and say, if we don't get what we want, you can go into the draft. And I know you think it cuts your nose off to spite your face, but you have to put your foot down somewhere and say, hey, I'm sure North Melbourne and Gold Coast have got the money for you, mate, right? Adelaide, you can say, all right, we'll give you $1.5 million for your first year. And I'm still sure that North Melbourne and Gold Coast will cover that, no problems. I know Collingwood can't, but the other two clubs can. Now, Stephen, if I was one of the administrators and I told you that, would you fall off your chair or would you resign?
No, I think there's you make some really relevant points there. So, look, Sydney would know what he's worth and so would Adelaide. So they'll work really hard to get a deal done. What he's worth, is he worth pick five or four? Look, that might be a little bit too much for him, but I understand that, you know, he's probably a first-round pick in your eyes, and you probably know him better than I do. I haven't watched a lot of him this year, but I know he's a very, very good player. But clubs will tend to work with each other and find that happy medium and get that through. But you're right. The only risk about all this is where Adelaide sort of sits. What we do know, the only club with some money, maybe, I would think in that list is North Melbourne. They've got pick one. Adelaide have got four in the pre-season draft. Gold Coast, I think they've run out of money. Giants have run out of money. So North is the danger in all of this. If he was to nominate for a pre-season draft, if you want to make that point of saying, well, you know what, if we can't do a deal, we're sick of this, you can go to the pre-season and try your luck there. But generally, the two clubs will get together and try and do that deal. Kinnear Beetson's very reasonable in terms of how he goes about things, and I'm sure that he'll be able to do a deal with Adelaide that they both walk away happy. Having said that, I would think Sydney would like to retain him. I'm not too sure. Did they offer him a contract?
They did. They offered him a long-term contract, four or five years, but he's nominated to move home to South Australia due to the family constraints. He hasn't been able to see his family through COVID.
Yeah, and look, he would want to see Sydney compensated for what they've done for him and develop him as a player as well. So, but what you've said there, I tend to agree with a lot of what you've said.
They got Hakeley last year, pre-season draft, Crows, from GWS, didn't they?
Yeah.
A question for another time maybe, but Should we get rid of the pre-season draft?
Well, I think it's there from a legal perspective, really, restrain a trade.
Yeah,
that's why it sits there, I think, from a legal perspective.
And the AFL want it there because the bottom teams can get access to players for nothing.
Yeah, they can, but generally it doesn't really happen a lot that a player goes through.
No, it doesn't.
They do it. I think it may be there for that very reason.
And North Melbourne, there's always that threat now with Callum Coleman-Jones if they can't do a deal with Richmond. Collingwood as well, withholding pick two in the preseason draft, Lipinski or Kruger. So we'll see which way that falls. Thanks for your calls. This is the Late Trade. All thanks to MEGT, your local apprenticeship expert since 1982, and Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
I actually mucked that one up. Because Collingwood have got the second pick in the pre-season draft.
All right, we'll get some more of your calls on the other side of this. This is the Late Trade.